Before we're out of here at 2, we'll have hopefully notes from post-practice for Nebraska. Defensive coaches, including the defensive coordinator, outside of his appearance on the television show, that'll be the first time that they have talked since the Minnesota game. One thing that kind of got buried yesterday, and his health is still up in the air, his availability is still up in the air for Saturday, is Adrian Martinez. Kind of the don't talk about injuries, but there wasn't a lot of discussion yesterday about the quarterback. That's my quarterback. Kind of got buried. Is Adrian Martinez good for this weekend or not? But I'm sure that we will see if he is in pads when he walks past the throng that are assembled covering Nebraska post-practice. 2 weeks from today, college basketball will be on the airwaves right here on 1620, Kennesaw State and Creighton. And then over at 1180, I'll be down in everybody's favorite Missouri Valley Conference city outside of Omaha, Wichita, Kansas, for Omaha and Wichita State. Matt Norlander does this every year on CBSSports.com. He goes through and he ranks all 351 Division I men's basketball programs. There are three programs in particular I'm going to pay close attention to this season. Illinois, which, do you know, since 2010, they have not finished above 500 in the Big Ten. You got to go back to the Bruce Weber days of Illinois.
Wow.
The last time that they finished above 500 in the Big Ten. But this is kind of the breakthrough year for Brad Underwood. Keeping it local in the Big East. This is a year that I'm going to watch Georgetown. Georgetown has only been to one NCAA tournament since 2013. And they made the change from John Thompson III now to Patrick Ewing. They have had 0 second weekends since 2007 in the Georgetown program. I'm watching Georgetown. I think Georgetown's an NCAA team. I think Illinois is an NCAA team. Another program around here that I'm going to watch is Mizzou. Two first-round losses in the NCAA tournament the last 7 years for Mizzou. Quanzo Martin, we're waiting. Now in the SEC with Quanzo. Those are three teams that I'm going to be watching. But in Matt Norlander's rankings of the 351 teams, he has Creighton as 56. The Blue Jays have witnessed Tyshawn Alexander emerge into one of the best players in the Big East. The program continues to be one of the most efficient offensive-minded outfits in the conference. Ceiling is third, floor is sixth in the Big East. Big East preseason poll had Creighton seventh. And then you got to scroll down, keep scrolling, 115th in Matt Norlander's rankings of the 351 Division I teams. You find Nebraska. Fred Hoiberg can have the Cornhuskers vying for the NCAA tournament about 16 months from now, but the first season will be rocky with all the changeover and an identity flip from the Tim Miles era. Only one player is back from last year's team. And then you scroll down, and you keep scrolling, and you keep scrolling, and you continue to scroll, and you go past the likes of North Dakota State, South Dakota, and then you find Omaha at 185th in Matt Norlander's rankings of 351 teams. Somewhere in Middle America, well-rounded Omaha brings back one of the best double-double guys in the Summit League, Matt Pyle. Now, there was a secret scrimmage with Omaha last Friday in Des Moines against Drake. Secret, so I'm only going to tell you a little bit about what happened. Omaha lost by 4, but the aforementioned Matt Pyle, the double-double walking machine for the Omaha Mavericks, 27 points and 20 rebounds against a very athletic and much larger Drake team. Let me just say that again. 27 points, 20 rebounds for Matt Pyle. 2 weeks from tonight, don't be surprised if you see a similar line against Wichita State, because that's a homecoming for Matt Pyle. So Creighton at 56, Nebraska at 115, Omaha at 185. If you're wondering, and I know you are, you don't need to email or tweet at us or call George, who is number one? Michigan State. Doesn't this set up as a year where it is national championship or bust in East Lansing?
Yep.
I cannot find a publication. And you know, I like to, at the grocery store, I'm the guy that goes to the magazine aisle and goes through the magazines. Pretty cool this year that, is it Sporting News? Sporting News has combined their NBA and college preview. I just went all nerdy on you with magazines. I can't find a publication that does not have Michigan State as the preseason number one team. And the names are kind of all the same. Michigan State, KU, Kentucky, North Carolina. Now, Maryland in this ranking is fifth in the country. This seems like a big year for Mark Turgeon to finish two or three in the Big Ten or find a way to knock off Michigan State. Because after that in the Big Ten, you drop all the way down until you get to the likes of Ohio State and also Purdue. All right, there's a little tease for you. 2 weeks from now, we'll do black, red, and blue Nebraska previews as we inch closer to the Tuesday, 2 weeks from tonight. All right, Andy Kendi from KATV is coming up here in just a little bit. If you've not heard, Nebraska is wearing the alternates. They tweeted out the video yesterday. We brought it up on the show. Why did Nebraska choose the Indiana game to wear the alternates? I like the honesty because we're running out of games. Kind of has a little bit lost its meaning. I like them. I would like to see them wear that particular alternate uniform more than once in a season. Kind of cool to wear it a couple of different times, not change it every year. Because I think this could be the permanent alternate. And I'm okay with black being part of Nebraska's color scheme. I was not upset when Danny Nee had his team in the 90s in Ames, Iowa, come out wearing black. Or Dave Van Horn on a Monday in Austin when it's 125 on the field, say, we're wearing black to show up the Longhorns. I mean, Nebraska volleyball has embraced it. The head coach has embraced it. I like black. I just don't think that the meaning behind the black shirt jersey that they're going to wear, I think it has lost its meaning. Because when you say we're running out of games, wanted to reward the defense for playing well, this is on the heels of Minnesota, and now what happens if they don't play well against Indiana? Oh, maybe it'll improve the team, and then you just wear it the rest of the season. But I would like to see this alternate uniform, and we really failed, especially on this radio station. My other fellow hosts, we failed to really deep dive into the alternate uniform discussion and why it took so long to get into the discussion this year. Because there's death taxes in the alternate uniform discussion in the offseason on Omaha Sports Radio and on 1620 The Zone. And I think we failed to do a deep dive. So here's where we can just spend like the next 30 minutes, if you'd like, George, discussing the alternate uniform. I like it. I'd like to see it of a permanent rotation maybe a couple of times a year. But I think when you say it's just because we've run out of home games, that's why we're wearing it, I think it loses a little bit of its luster. There is an groundswell. It is in the underground about having a blackout. Teased it about the great Penn State wideout. If you watched 107,000 people in the mountains of Pennsylvania on Saturday night, that was a pretty cool deal. That was a pretty cool deal against Michigan. Kurt liked it on Twitter. He tweeted at me, said, that's neat.
Yeah, it is.
You have a little bit of the traditionalists around here that have always worn red. That's what you wear. That's the color. The whole stadium is in red. So when you try and change things up, it doesn't go so well. But there is, because we've got, I guess, the leader of this underground movement to make it a full blackout on Saturday. Unless the athletic department gets behind it and they do publicity, It's going to look like a mishmash of colors in that stadium. You've got the students who, some go against the grain and so they wear like green shirts or they don't wear red or white or black. In this case, the students might wear black. Some people will wear black. Other people will wear their red that they've been wearing since, you know, Devaney walked on campus. But just I told this person that I would put it out there. The Gary Sharp Show would say, it's a blackout. Good luck. You can convince the athletic department to pick it up and run with it. You got a better chance.
I know USC is trying hard, too. They're trying hard to push it.
There's too many people that it's been ingrained to wear red, and you're not going to change.
Right.
Unless you give them something. Like, for the first game of the year, and you want to make it a blackout, and you get First National Bank or Woodhouse or any other their corporate sponsors behind it, and you purchase 89,000 T-shirts, mm-hmm. and you go through and you put them on every single seat in the stadium. Outside of that, I don't think you're going to get full cooperation. So it'll be a mishmash of colors.
You're not wrong.
But doing a blackout, I think, is better during the day than at night.
Agreed.
Most everybody is black at night. Because only the part of the field is illuminated. Sorry you took that the wrong way, George. AK from KETV is coming next.